episode 258 of the Way of the Warrior podcast, brought to you by Onnit, O-N-N-I-T.com, for all of your supplement needs. And that's about it this week for sponsors. So without further ado, it's episode 258.
Don't we have another Scorpion King movie soon, Eric?
We do not have. They are gone this week.
No, so. Okay. I mean, no, I enjoyed it.
So without further ado, episode 258.
Yeah. Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
It's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground and pound by O'Hara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
Way of the Warrior, your MMA show, along with Eric Hulkren. It is Ken Evans covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And I joked last week that we could spend 6 months talking about John Jones and cocaine, and apparently that is a real thing.
Well, that's the only reason I'm back.
Because he spent 1 minute in rehab and is now out. Literally a day.
I do want to give a lot of credit, though, to folks on Twitter and The Underground, which I'm not sure if that's why they went down yesterday. As of the taping of this show, they were hit by a DDoS attack. I'm not sure if John Jones has anybody who's really amped up and likes to hack websites got mad at him. But there were rumors of this literally before we did the show last week that, hey, guys, I know you're talking about him being in rehab. He hasn't been in rehab in like 3 days.
Yeah, and it's funny to watch all of that stuff happen. And then this morning when we were about to start the show, you've got Dana White coming out and going, you know, the truth will come out and everyone will get to see the real story and why it was what it was. And, of course, why he needs to be around his brothers when they play in the AFC Championship game and all of these
You things. Called it last week, by the way.
Well, so here's the problem with all of this, right? And this is the thing that we talk about, you and I specifically, talk about a lot when it comes to this organization, is that there's going to come a moment where you can't have it both ways. You've seen this year, to talk about the NFL for a second, right, that all of the terrible calls. And then last week on Fox, they have the head of refs sit on TV and go, oh, Ken, this is exactly what's going to happen. And then that's not at all what mm-hmm. happens on the field, right? So in this particular instance, you can't go, all right, so he was busted for metabolites that are in coke, and we sent him to rehab. He was there for a cup of coffee, and now he's back. And
Well, coffee's good when you're coming down from the blow.
It really is. And, you know, we'll tell you the whole story when we're good and ready to tell you the whole story. But now you're just going to have to trust that, much like the tests that we won't show you with John Jones.
We still haven't seen those.
No,
yet.
The test that we will not show you that we swear he passed on. We will tell you this full story when we are good and ready to tell you this full story. And I mean, fighting aside, I don't know how you, like, if you're, let's use Reebok. If you're Reebok, like, what are you thinking at this point?
I don't know what you're thinking if you're Reebok, because not only is it one of your guys, but you just signed this giant deal with the company, and I'm sure we'll talk about a little of this later, because all the fighters and the managers got their Reebok rules, by the way.
Sure.
Did you hear about this earlier in the week?
I heard about it, but I'm hoping that you can fill me in on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just some of it's a lot of inside baseball, and we do some of that here, but this is a company that just spent a lot of money. And they got a guy that used to be with Nike, which for Reebok is a get, even though Nike probably didn't want that dude anymore.
Right.
You still got a guy that used to be with Nike. You know, Reebok's not signing Michael Jordan tomorrow. So no matter what the instance is where you get the old Nike guy, you got the old Nike guy. And now he's your guy. But what is he doing? He's doing rehab for – we talked about this last week. He doesn't even know how to do this whole thing right when he's trying to spin it. He's just trying to, and we knew last week, he was just trying to spin it. You got to sit there for a week or two.
Sure.
If you want this to spin, that
or hide,
oh, this is
right?
a problem.
Like, if
right.
you're going to be there for a day, then go hide. Don't show up this weekend at the AFC game like you're going to.
Yeah, he's going to. Well, and that's the thing. He should have owned it last week. It was a one-time scratch. He ran because he never wants to face anybody with any real questions. So he didn't want to face anybody. I told you this last week, and I've been talking about it on Twitter all week. The guy should just own up to it. Yeah, you know what? I did it. I don't have a problem. Obviously, I don't have a problem. Did you see the fight with Daniel Cormier? If I had a problem, I couldn't have done that. And he probably is right. He probably did it, had some fun with it. A lot of people I've known have done that in the past. I'm not going to judge them, but he won't own any of it. I'm sorry what I did to my family, my friends, and the UFC. I'm going to go to rehab and take this seriously. He's out 24 hours later. You know, that's a D-bag move, as we talked about last week.
Well, and you know it's a D-bag move when, like, there are guys on Twitter, right? Because that's probably the source, I would say, for all of this stuff to kind of manifest itself before it ends up in a blog post on MMA Fighting or MMA Junkie or mm-hmm. Cage Fighter or wherever you get your MMA news from. It starts on Twitter. And you can find guys like Brent Brookhouse and Front Row Brian and those guys who are awesome at what they do but naturally aligned to the negative, meaning they're looking for the story all of the time. And so they're
And you have to do that, though. You have to do that because you have guys like Dana White, who we love. I mean, that unconditional on the show. I mean, his brash in your face, I think we've appreciated that a lot more than a lot of other folks. But you also have that guy who's going to try to keep things spinning his way no matter what. He is a guy that pulled credentials for some dudes, which, you know, as a broadcaster or somebody in the media, I'm not really that cool with. So these guys, a lot of MMA journalists, a lot of guys on Twitter are going to have that naturally because that's how they're going to find things out that are the truth.
Well, and so my point is then when you have guys like that, and we'll use your example, Cage Potato, right? They are the ones that had their credentials pulled and haven't been at events for a long, 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 long time. Those guys are going to be aligned to figuring out the story behind the story. When you have guys like Kevin Ioli, who is largely seen as somebody who is a friend of the UFC, mm-hmm. digging this stuff up, you've got a real story and somebody has to be culpable for it on some level to answer these questions and not answer these questions in a way where you say, oh, well, he was in there for a day, but the truth, Ken, will come out when, you know, when it needs to come out.
Well, I mean, essentially what Dana White said, if I remember correctly, when John wants to tell the story, and that's the frustrating part. We all know John's not going to tell that story.
Right.
John has no interest in talking about that. Is he going to do a sit down with somebody? I don't know. If I'm SportsCenter, man, I try to get Chael Sonnen in there with the one-on-one. Like, John, look, you got to be on ESPN. You got to do a. You got to talk about.
You got to talk to Chael. You got to drink Coca-Cola the entire interview.
Oh man, and you got to. I think that'd be a breakthrough. I just don't think John Jones has the self-awareness. Dude's baddest man on the planet, and wants everybody to respect him for that. I think a lot of people do. Most people do, but there's a couple other things that go along with that. When I see a guy like Daniel Cormier who's crying after the fight, I know he gave everything in there, and he came up short. And guess what, John Jones? Most everybody on the planet comes up short at some point. You know, we don't all live in a family full of UFC champions and Super Bowl champions.
Sure.
You know, every once in a while we do things we don't want to do. And if you're that untouchable and you show no sign of weakness, then you're going to have to own that if you want the fans to cheer for you. I mean, nobody loves a story better than a comeback story. We don't have that with John Jones. We don't even have it with this drug rehabilitation because we know it was BS when he went in there.
Well, not only was it BS, but you've said it a number of times, both on Twitter and on the show, is that this is a guy that needs to decide, to your point, which part of this he's going to own. Is he going to be the guy that you said a couple minutes ago that comes on and says, I made a mistake, I partied too hard, it was a dumb thing to do, but look what I did to Daniel Cormier, you know, shove it up your ass? Is he going to be that guy? Or is he going to be the guy that comes out and goes, you know, all human beings are fallible, and I know that you think I'm untouchable, and I made this mistake that hurt my family, my fiance, my kids, my mom, my dad. Like,
but if he does that, we know it's BS.
Well, this is what I'm saying, because he's in the middle and you don't actually know what you're dealing with. To compare him to this weekend, Conor McGregor knows exactly who he is and exactly what you're dealing with. And he doesn't break character, in lack of a better word,
he's true to himself.
Yes, like that is him. This character that everyone trumps him up to be is essentially him. And he's like that all of the time. And that's why you have so many fighters that hate him because of how much he's been elevated. But that's more to the point why he's been elevated, because he's got the ability to back up what his body writes checks with his mouth. You know, like he's the guy who's going to say, I'm going to beat Dennis Siver in 2 minutes and likely going to do it. You know, there was a video out on the internet this week that showed that his body movement and the way in which he moves his body is elite, even for elite people.
Yeah, he broke sports science records.
Yes, he broke
like that, right?
All of the records. So this is a guy who the comparisons, I think it's a little early, obviously, to make the comparisons between John Jones and Conor McGregor. But from an outside perspective, the hyperbole, the promo cutting, the doing interviews, if you want to be the heel, you got to be the heel.
Well, here's the interesting thing, and I'll tell you this, and I know we'll get into more of it later on in the show in other segments for UFC Fight Night, but I want to mention it during what we're talking about here with John Jones. I look at Conor McGregor. I am still not 100% sure how I feel about him. I don't know if I kind of like what he's doing. I don't know if he's kind of being an a-hole with what he's doing.
Sure.
I want to see him interact with other fighters, but what I never have any doubt about is that Conor McGregor is being Conor McGregor. He's not going to go post a video on Twitter and then delete it 3 hours later.
Right, yes.
Because he freaks out about the response. He's not going to do that. He's going to go say something. He's going to stand behind what he says. And I can at least appreciate that, even though, like I said, I think I'm kind of on the Conor McGregor train. But there's some things I see him, man, he is talking a lot. But you know what? He's not going to back down from it. John Jones, he'll talk, talk, talk. And then he gets mad about Daniel Cormier trash talking when Dan said he was looking for an equal. That's not trash talking, John Jones. That's not a reason to punch a guy after a bell. And I know that was a different type of skirmish, but
yes.
Come on.
Well, and I don't know where you go at this point, right? Because if it's up to John Jones to tell us the story, we already know how this is going to end. He's not going to tell us the story. They're gonna roll him out to John Anik on that Inside UFC show that airs on Fight Pass. He's gonna do some apology on video, and that'll be
They'll set the two chairs up.
Yep,
they'll set the two chairs.
It's gonna be in the middle of a ring or an octagon, and that'll be the.
Listen up. It'll be a dark. It might be black and white. It might be black and white. It'll be a dark background.
Film noir.
It'll be two director's chairs, more than likely, spaced apart just enough so they can get their over the shoulder shots. And John giving his apology, and John eating it up, and John Anik should eat it up. That's what his job is.
Sure.
But what we want to see is Chael Sonnen sitting across from him and going, "Man, why are you doing this? Why don't you own up to who you are?" What we want to see is him talking to maybe somebody real in the sports world. And I think it's interesting. This all converges in this time and space where everybody's going, you know what? We love MMA as fans, but, oh, we thought it was going to be bigger, but I think we're where we are. And there'll be another guy that comes along in 2 years or maybe less than that, and everything explodes again, and we'll all be wrong this time of year. But this is that time where a lot of people are talking, was this it? Did we hit the crescendo? Is that where we are with MMA? Is this as good as it gets? I think we are in a lot of respects, but some of that has to do with the fact that the UFC doesn't necessarily want to play ball, and they don't have to. I'm not even saying they have to.
Sure.
But if the UFC was going to play ball, you know, Dana White would come out and go, hey, John Jones, his story to tell. He will be made available at this point. Before he fights again in the UFC, we expect him to do this, 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 and this. We haven't heard any of that yet. And that's why people are suspicious of it. And the UFC, you know, it's a bristled relationship at best with some of the other media outlets at this point.
Well, and I would say that if that was what they did, that would go a long way to squelch some of this. Because as we're talking right now, we don't have the post-fight drug test, which I'm okay. There's a time frame for that, so I'm okay with that. We don't have access, as I'm talking right now, that might change by Friday night or whatever. We don't have access right now to the pre-fight TE tests that they've been talking about that they say are in the clear. And we don't have an actual explanation as to why he was in rehab for a day. And all of those things speak to that you might be right. This could be where we end up with this sport, right? Dana White says he wants to be the biggest sport in the world. He wants to be bigger than soccer, bigger than the NFL, and bigger than that. The way that those organizations can get around their overall idiocracy, and you know, to say that the NFL hasn't been stupid this year is the understatement of the
right.
year. But they get away with it because there's all of these teams out here that people can root for and not necessarily support the NFL. Does that make sense?
Like, no, 100%. I mean, you can go get behind your team and not necessarily think the NFL knows what they're doing because you've got a team you're supporting. What has been cultivated by the UFC and masterfully for the most part for the past decade and a half is that the UFC is our team, Eric.
Right.
That's who we're rooting for. I'm rooting for the UFC because you know what? They're going up against all these other sports and they're not nearly as exciting. Those sports aren't nearly as exciting as two men stepping in the cage, settling a fight, and doing it with sportsmanship. So our team has been the UFC. So when we get to this point, well, our team's kind of letting us down a little bit. You know, I'm sure there were a lot of people in Baltimore, if we want to use the NFL reference.
Sure.
When everything went down with Ray Rice, they heard that their coach wanted to get rid of the guy. The management didn't let him get rid of the guy. I'm sure they were disappointed in their team. Now, again, this isn't domestic abuse. This isn't that issue, in this case, at least with the UFC. We've had that before.
Sure we have.
With guys. But this is a case where you want to see what they do and saying, oh, somebody will tell you later, doesn't cut it in today's day and age. This is Twitter. This is Facebook. This is social media everywhere. We're one of a million dudes that do a podcast about MMA. This doesn't work when you say, somebody will, maybe will tell you later.
Well, and it doesn't work, especially in this day and age, when the million guys that do podcasts don't have any special credentials more so than this podcast, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe they do it as a full-time gig or whatever their deal is, and they can go find this stuff. So if you're not going to give it to them, somebody is going to get it to them. And this becomes a PR thing where do you want to be in control of the story that you're going to tell or let, for example, Front Row Brian tell it for you? Is that really how you want this to roll out? Because I'm betting that's not how you want it to roll out.
And it's an interesting thing, too, because, again, as somebody listening right now is like, they don't owe you anything. They don't owe anything.
No.
But I think of the dynamic of what's happening and what we've been dealing with as far as these tests. And, I mean, there's so much confusion that they could just lay to rest with a press conference. And we really haven't seen that. And I know that they're trying to do Fight Pass specific content. And I may have missed something. But you think when I'm able to Google it, somewhere along the lines, our friends at MMAfighting.com or MMA.tv or Bleacher Report or any of the 10 other sources, you think somebody would be able to have a concise breakdown from the UFC. A lot of these guys have done a great job in kind of piecing together
sure.
these little bits here and there. But nobody's really got the UFC side because there is no UFC
and that's,
side.
That's what I'm saying, right? Like, these journalists out here are doing a great job of putting this story together and forcing it to go together. But there is no actual statement from the UFC. And when you say they don't owe us anything, that's 1,000% correct. However, they owe it to you. If you're listening to this and you consume the UFC this weekend as they go to Boston, they owe it to you. And they owe it to Reebok. And here's why. If you want somebody to buy a $110 John Jones Reebok jersey, they're going to do that when they believe in that dude. You know, and maybe Conor McGregor is that dude, or maybe Anderson Silva is that dude, or maybe Chris Weidman's that dude. I don't know. But right now, you've got all of your eggs in the John Jones basket, right? The pay-per-view did the best that they've done in nearly a year at 880,000 estimated pay-per-view buys.
Those are almost Brock levels.
Almost Brock levels, which were a million. The best that they've done in at least a year, right? So you're hedging all of your bets on this guy, then somebody, anybody connected to this thing has to own it so that you can move it forward. And you'll get people that are going to buy the next John Jones pay-per-view, but not, I would guess, not as many if you don't actually solve this.
I'm going to be with you there, and I think this is going to be a case where we're going to watch John Jones no matter what. I just feel like this is a situation where we're still talking about it because we just can't believe. We can believe the idiocy of a man. We can't necessarily believe in necessarily the institution. Kind of, you know, Dana White's refuting the rehab report, saying that's not true. He's going to be at a football game this weekend, Eric.
Sure.
He's going to be at a football game this weekend. And what are you going to look like at that point? Because nobody in the right mind, no matter what your addiction is, I don't care if it's gum or caffeine or cigarettes or booze or if it's drugs. Nobody in their right mind thinks if you have an addiction that you can be done in a week. So let's say we're wrong. Let's say this day thing is off, and I don't think the day thing's off. I think the dude was back in his house after day. We know he's at a football game a week after he said he went to rehab. Nobody's buying any of that.
Well,
and if we don't buy that, and everybody goes, well, who cares? It's not integral to the sport. It becomes integral because we're not buying that, and we also don't have an answer on these other tests, and the whole testosterone thing was strange from the beginning. It's like, oh, yeah, these were kind of screwed up, but it's okay. Wait, why is it okay?
Right.
Oh, but, you'll find doctors that can tell you how it is. And again, I'll go back to like MMA fighting. Some of those guys looked it all up. Hey, this is why it's okay. Why wasn't the UFC out front with why this is okay?
Right.
We don't understand any of the credibility. Now we don't have the post-fight test. Do we trust that any of this stuff is happening or no?
And I don't know, because, again, I will say if you're somebody who is listening to this and you're not really as sure about all of this testosterone and the blood tests, and believe me, it takes some work to kind of figure that stuff out. Joe Rogan, a couple days after the story broke, did a podcast with Brian Stann, which is hands down, I think, one of the best explanations of how this whole universe works. And so if you've got some time, go and listen. But essentially, Brian Stann talks about the chain of custody, how this thing's supposed to work with the blood test, and that at some point either the administration of the test or the chain of custody was broken or whatever. So in the end, we're going to have a hard time seeing him get reprimanded either from the UFC or the Nevada Athletic Commission because they've screwed it up from the jump off, right? Mm-hmm. But I think at some point you still need to tell the story at least of the post-fight, right? If the pre-fight stuff is messed up because you messed it up, somebody needs to say that we messed it up. Not the word anomaly doesn't cover it. There was an anomaly. We tested for the wrong thing. And Brian Stann explains it that there's two tests. There's a recreational test, which tests for pot or cocaine or methamphetamines or whatever it is that you're doing in a recreational sense. And then one that tests for performance-enhancing drugs. And they administered the wrong test at that point to find the cocaine metabolites. So all of that stuff's essentially going to be thrown out because you made a mistake. You uncovered something that's not awesome, but you made a mistake doing it. And so the Nevada Athletic Commission, as I understand it, really has nothing to – can't really do anything with any of that data because it's flawed from the word go.
Well, and the UFC has also said quite suspiciously right after they probably found out about this test is that the competition doesn't really matter anymore. And again, that Sean went crazy last week as a trainer and a fighter and a guy with vested interest in people in the UFC. How are you out of competition a month out from your fight? That's sure. Not true at all. That's impossible if you've got a real camp going. And you would suspect a guy who's canceled fights before because he couldn't get a whole camp going that he's in camp 4 weeks before a fight.
I mean, look, like, we're going to talk about UFC in Boston here in a minute, and I get there's some anomalies there where you've got two fighters, one of whom taking a fight on 3 days' notice, one taking it on 2 weeks' notice. That is not normal. If you're just joining the MMA train or the UFC train in 2015, that's not how it works. It's 6 or 8 weeks or 12 weeks, depending on what you're doing. So I am in 1,000% agreement that that is a bunch of horse crap that you're out of competition on December 3rd when you fight on January 3rd.
Well, and this goes back to the credibility of the sport. I mean, TRT blew up big when everybody was using it, and finally the UFC had to crumble and say, look, we just have to be done with this. You know, we don't know what is and isn't a real excuse anymore. So, guys, you got to be done with it. I mean, we called for that on this show years ago.
Sure. Well,
be done with it. And then you don't have to worry about all these minute explanations of this guy versus that guy versus this other guy. And when it was probably all said and done, most of these guys did it years ago. That's why they're screwed up now.
Yep. Well, and then the only other side of that, and then we'll jump off here in a second. The only other side of that, Ken, is you just let everything go.
And I don't think anybody wants that.
No, but those are the only two, right? Because if you let TRT go and cocaine go and testosterone and steroids.
You can't fire the guy on weed, can you?
Right. Well, when you let all of that stuff go, there is no way you're going to catch the NFL, right? You just throw your entire family-friendly pitch, and I get two men fighting in a cage. That's going to be a push anyway. But you throw that pitch out the window if everybody is on everything.
Right. Yeah, no, but I don't think anybody wants to necessarily see that because that's not good for the fighters. That's not something where you want to force everybody to do it. Baseball had this argument years ago, like, quit testing for all this, let everybody do it. Well, then you force everybody to do it.
Sure.
Is that what we want to do at this point? I don't know. I don't think it's what we want to do, and I think it's why people get so suspicious of testing still, and that's why this situation is where it is, because you've got this guy. I don't think, again, I'm going to go back. I don't think anybody cares if Jon Jones is doing coke. I really don't.
No, I'm agree. I think it's.
I mean, I think you've got weed, coke, and then everything else.
Well, and
it's really hard.
And look, I mean,
like, nobody wants a meth guy in the cage. We understand.
Well, and you've said it. Like, you're the baddest man on the planet. You're going to do some crazy stuff. That's just how it is, right? Because you're surrounded by people who tell you how awesome you are and how indestructible you are. You're going to get caught in situations that normal people would get caught in, but maybe not handle it the way that you handle it or have the spotlight shine on them, right? Like, there are a lot of normal people that do coke once. I'm telling you this right now. There are a lot of normal people that at some point in their life go,
I'll give it a try. I'm at the
Vegas,
bar.
Whatever, you know, right? And then that's the end of it. That happens a lot. So I'm not one, at least, and I know you're not one who's on the cocaine thing. I think it's the when it happens, how it's all been flushed out, and the fact that we still don't really have any actual explanation as to what it was.
Well, and you have the BS. That was the rehab.
And you have the BS rehab.
We called it last week. I didn't think we thought it'd be as ridiculous as it was.
No, I didn't think it would be that. Like, I didn't think it was going to be, you know, reality show TMZ rehab where you're like, I showed up, I checked my punch card, and then I went to Pinkberry, I got some yogurt.
And, national TV. Yeah, I'm going to go to a football game. And that will happen this weekend.
That
keep
will.
An eye out.
You will catch him this weekend.
AFC's on CBS, I believe.
Speaking of this weekend.
Unsolicited shout out there.
We will go to Boston here in a second. We will talk to Uriah Hall next. He has had two fighters bail on him and finally got an opponent on Monday. So we'll talk to him about that.
That's a real thing.
That is a real thing. And
is this going to be another opponent without a Wikipedia page?
No.
Let me go check.
This opponent comes from Strikeforce, so he probably has a Wikipedia page. And then we'll also talk about the rest of the card next. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show. It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hultgren, along with Sean Desai, Ken Evans, and Jobi-Wan Kenobi, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. UFC heads to Boston for fight night on Sunday night. Huge fight between Conor McGregor and Dennis Seaver. The war of words continues. One of the men on the main card who's had a bit of a change in his dance partner, not once, but twice. Uriah Hall joins us. Uriah, how are you?
Pretty good.
Nothing, man. What's going on with you? Big fight this weekend. You've changed dance partners not once, but twice. Is that something that does anything to you, or is this just the fight game for you, so you're just going to plow through and be a part of this amazing card when it hits Boston this weekend?
When you train properly, you don't really worry about stuff like that, because you just stay ready.
Fair enough. It's funny, I was talking about you this past weekend when we were watching the Jon Jones-Cormier fight. And I had a friend who had never watched the UFC before, and I was explaining that there was this embedded episode that you were in where they were fixing your toe backstage, and that I sent it to him, and I said, if you really want to know what it's like to be a UFC fighter, this is the video that you need to watch. Because, you know, well, just to see that's the cost. You know, there's that famous scene in the first Ultimate Fighter where Dana White says, do you want to be a fucking fighter? That's the video that I want to show everyone and go, this is what it's like to be a fighter. This is what it's like to get in the octagon and fight against another person for a living.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Yeah, man, tough times.
How is the toe feeling?
My toe's 100. I feel pretty good. Started therapy early, and then started camp right after that, so the transition was really good. I feel smoother, balance is back, footwork is back. I'm ready to dance.
And we are ready to see you dance this weekend. UFC Fight Night 59, McGregor and Seaver. You've also got a bunch of other stuff going on. You've got, what, not one, but two movies coming out this weekend, or this year, I should say. Can you talk a little bit about those two projects?
Two movies. I don't know about the first one.
Are you not?
But I've been filming with, I've been filming a movie called Street with Bo Smart. And, you know, just getting to know him and being on the set and staying around those guys is pretty cool, showcase stuff. It was a little different because I'm used to actually punching people.
Well,
so we had to pretend to punch each other.
Well,
that was cool.
And that's why I wanted to talk to you, because last week we had talked to Hoyce Gracie, who's in the Scorpion 4 movie, and he was saying that that's kind of a tough transition to go from actually punching people to pretend punching people. What was that transition like for you?
For me, it was fun because I'm very animated, and I used to play around with my friends back when I was younger. We used to make funny noises, like getting punched and pretend, so I just kind of recollect from that moment and just went into it. I went with the flow.
And you are very much a person and an individual that goes with the flow. Was this an experience that you want to do more of, or was this kind of a one and done, just try it out and then get back to the fight game?
I love it. It's a passion of mine. It's actually another, I would say, dream that I love to accomplish. But I know in that type of business, you know, you got to have a name and, you know, you got to have the right connections, and hopefully I did a good job. And, you know, I'm eager to learn anyways. And if I make some mistakes, I'm, you know, right back to the drawing board for me. But I would love to get an opportunity to do that more as part of the fight game as well, because I love to compete too.
Very cool. And when can people see this movie? Is that out this year, or are you working on it this year?
It should be out later fall. You know, where I think we shot the last stuff, but they probably have some more stuff to shoot, but it should be maybe fall or a little bit later.
Awesome. UFC Fight Night 59 this weekend. Joining us, Uriah Hall. He is taking on Ron Starlings. And the main event that people are talking about, Conor McGregor, Dennis Seaver. Your thoughts on Conor as a fighter? What are your – I mean, there's a lot of hyperbole going around, and I just like to get the thoughts of another fighter on what the real story might be.
Well, I don't know him personally, but with Conor, you either love him or you hate him. Either way, you still got to pay to see him, and I guess he's embracing that role really well. He's playing the game very well. I know a lot of people or fighters are angry at the fact that he's getting certain opportunities, but he's embracing that role. You know, he's taking it. And from something like that, you can learn something. What I've learned from Conor is to embrace the fact that you're doing this. You know, I mean, in the beginning, I was like, who the fuck is this guy? I can't stand it. He's a douchebag. Like, he's opened his mouth so much. And, you know, he's kind of either an Ollie or whatnot. But you know what? It's stepping aside for a second and kind of understanding. And as much as I don't like that part, because I come from a different background, I don't need to trash talk people. I believe in myself. And it was a head case for me, you know. With me, it's different. I know I can kill someone, and that scares me, knowing I can kill someone.
Sure, yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, well, it's what I love to do, so why not do it? And you have people in your ear telling, well, don't do it because you're too nice, or you shouldn't do it. So it's like, why would I even listen to you guys? You know, last time I checked, it's my freaking life. And I'm going to do what I want. But again, I get where he's coming from, where he's embracing that role and he wants to get to the top. So why not be that guy? Why not say, hey, man, yeah, I am going to knock you out. Hey, man, I am going to beat you first round. Hey, man, you can't beat me. He's took that role to the next level. So props to him.
Well, and wouldn't you say, Uriah, and maybe you won't agree with me, I don't know, but when you've got a roster of over 500 people in all of these events, you've got to find ways to kind of rise above the crowd. And if trash talking isn't your thing, you've got to find a different thing to kind of pull that spotlight to you. Would you at least agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, again, it's just playing the game, and maybe that's just his way of doing it. Me personally, I wouldn't do that. I would just call out the guys that are better. That's me. I don't need to build myself up by taking on little guys or whatnot. You know, I want to take on the best guys. If I go against the best guys, it brings out the better in me, and I feel like I'm improving. Win or lose, that's how I look at it.
So
I don't need to take stepping stones, as they call it.
So is that what we're going to see in the Octagon this weekend? Are you planning on calling somebody out? I'm not asking for you to say who that is, but is that what we'll see this weekend?
Well, I'm planning to end the fight quick. That's my mentality. But if it does go the distance, I'm trying to do some damage as well. You know, I'm on another level, and for each fight, I'm growing. And a side of me wants to just kind of prove people wrong, but the other smart side is like, fuck them. Who gives a fuck? Just do you. So I'm just going to go out there and just be me. Because once I'm me, man, I'm really untouchable. And I have a glimpse of episodes myself. And I was kind of explaining to my friend the other day, like, hey, man, you know, there's like a small side of me that's like locked in a cage. And I look at him sometime, and he's like, dude, let me out, and I'll show you how to really, you know. And that scares me. But again, it's a battle that I've struggled with because, you know, I'm a human being. I don't need to pretend. I'm real. I don't need to act differently. And I feel like, especially in this world, and maybe in the sport, people are always trying to give you a character or trying to change you or tell you who you should be. And it's hard. So I have to continue fighting those things and continue to be myself, because at the end of the day, that's all I really have.
Uriah, and that's the reason why so many of us love to see you not only in the Octagon but out of the Octagon, because those are some great words and some great advice. I will leave it at that, because I can tell in your voice that you're growing a little weary of doing all of these interviews, so I'll let you get to the next one so you can get on with your day.
Oh, no. It's fun for me. It's therapy. For me, it's therapy.
Well, I'll let you get on with it anyway, my friend. Have an awesome time this weekend, UFC Fight Night in Boston. As always, a pleasure, dude, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Take care. Follow everything all weekend long on Twitter or Facebook by searching WOW Show. It is Way of the Warrior, brought to you by Onnit Supplements, ONNIT.com. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. We head to Boston this weekend to find out if Conor McGregor is the Muhammad Ali of MMA as he takes on Dennis Siver in the main event of UFC Fight Night 59. We also have Benson Henderson taking on Donald Cerrone for a third time. He was supposed to take on Eddie Alvarez. and Uriah Hall takes on Ron Starling, that Ken is still trying to find a Wikipedia page on.
Nope, none. I told you no.
He was supposed to take on Costa Philippou, then that became Lewis Taylor, and now is Ron Starling. Norman Park and Gleison Tebow is the kickoff to the main event, and one to look for on the undercard, Doomsday and Lawrence Larkin is another fight that you want to keep your eye on. But we will start with Conor McGregor and Dennis Seaver. Conor says he's going to end this fight in 2 minutes. Dennis has taken quite offense to that and has been doing, in most of the embeds, a lot of chances to kind of throw Conor under the bus and say that, look, he is not as good as everyone thinks he is, and I'm going to prove that on Sunday night in Boston. Dana White has said, look, you're an idiot if you don't think Dennis Seaver has a chance in this fight. And I don't disagree that Dennis Seaver is a very dangerous opponent, but I'm here to tell you that Conor McGregor, I think, has the skill set to beat him. And if he does, we have to start having serious conversations on what to do with him next that may or may not have to do with the title by the end of the year.
What, he's on a 10-11-12 fight win streak,
Conor?
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, it's been fairly impressive. He's been that guy recently, too, where he gets to fight in Boston or Ireland a lot.
Right.
Well, and, so much dropkick Murphys.
And, yes, all the dropkick Murphys. I heard on Twitter, which I know I have not had a chance to verify, but I had heard a rumor that if he beat Dennis Seaver, that he gets the title shot. That's not the rumor part. But I had heard the rumor that they wanted to do he and Aldo at a stadium in Ireland, and that looks like that might not come to fruition.
Because it's raining?
Because it's raining, yeah. Because, yes, for a various a sundry of reasons. But that would be a great place to spotlight him. But my guess is the Aldo camp, not a big fan of that idea.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't blame them.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I mean, technically, too. I mean, if you look at this fight, and he's on a great win streak. I mean, you know, it's Max Holloway, though. It's I'm looking at it right now. Marcus Brimage. I mean, these guys.
Well, you, I mean,
not bad fighters by any means. I mean, the Dustin Poirier, that was a big win.
That was a big win. But, you know, you heard in Uriah Hall's interview that he said that one of the things that he knocks Conor for is fighting these guys that aren't really names, right? Like Max Holloway.
Well, they're not
right?
really names, and he does it in the 10 feet from his house.
Yeah, right. So now is the time to test him. This is a great test for him on Sunday night. And afterwards, I think I'm of the – if it's 2 minutes, maybe we have a different conversation. If it's not 2 minutes, I think we need to have a conversation about one more fight before we get all crazy about arenas in Ireland.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean,
I know that what Dana said, I get it. But if it is 2 minutes, I agree with Dana. If it's not, though, we need a different conversation.
But if Joe were here, he would tell us that show's not for us. So that would be a show for Ireland, and they would sell it out. So if they're going to sell it out, sure, I don't care. Put it on Fight Pass. We have 80 different avenues for this.
Let's be clear here.
What?
At no point do I agree with putting title fights on Fight Pass.
Yeah,
okay,
let's just do it.
Let's be clear here.
That show's not for us, according to Joe when he's here. I know it's a title fight, but it's not for you guys.
It's not for you at all. Your thoughts on this fight? I mean,
I think we're going to see an impressive Conor McGregor. I think there's one thing you can say about the UFC is they know how to make a nice home court advantage and set it up in a nice way. And doing that in Boston is a great way to do it. There's a situation here where he's got a tough fight. Dennis Seaver's a tough dude,
very tough.
But it should be a win. It should be a quick win if Conor is the guy that he keeps telling us he is. It should be all out and leaves nothing in the cage after that first or second round.
Well, and when you look at this on paper, you get why most fighters are being very vocal about how annoying they are, or annoyed, I should say, with Conor McGregor, right? Because, like you said, every time he fights, it's in Ireland or Boston. And every time he fights,
well, let's go. Let's do his last six fights. Let's do his last six fights.
Go for it.
Last one's in Las Vegas, okay? Because that had to be on UFC 178.
Got it.
They're not going to put that in Boston. He fought Diego Brandão in Dublin.
Yep.
First round, 4 minutes. Fought Max Holloway in Boston.
Yep.
That was a decision, right? He won a unanimous decision.
Yes.
There.
Yeah, he did.
Max Holloway decision. So, before that, Stockholm, Sweden. I don't know. They say Europe's like as big as as big as what? Like Ohio? So that was probably pretty close to Ireland.
That's what we've discovered today.
Right,
is Ken Evans xenophobia.
I clearly, you know, quick boat ride.
Yes.
I feel like it's like Mackinac. When you go to
it's
Mackinac,
exactly
you get on a ferry.
Yes, it's very similar.
And then
Ireland and Sweden is exactly
then
like
you're
Mackinac.
In Stockholm.
Yes.
Your homeland.
Yes.
And then before that. Now this wasn't UFC setting it up, but he fought obviously in Dublin and England the three times before that because he was in European Fighting League.
Sure. But my point is, like, if you're Dennis Seaver, right, and you hear winner of this fight gets a title shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're essentially there. We're gonna paint.
No, Dennis Seaver's not getting a title shot.
We're gonna paint the octagon green. We're going to put it in Boston. We're going to, you know, the Dropkick Murphys are going to walk out with Conor McGregor, right? Like, all of these things make it so that it's so clearly weighted in the advance.
Right. You can only eat Lucky Charms to make weight.
Yes. Yes.
What other ridiculous things could we put on there?
Instead of Pedialyte, you have to drink Guinness, right? Like, all of the insane things that you would do if you were in that universe.
Guinness.
But so you've got this home court advantage, which of course just weighs into the fact that obviously Aldo's camp smarter than that. And they're like, yeah, no, we have the, I know you want to give him the belt. Got it. But we have the belt.
There's only a couple dudes like Anderson Silva in the world where he wins a title and breaks Rich Franklin in half, essentially.
Yes.
They go, hey, you got to rematch him in Cincinnati, like a foot from his house.
And all right.
Anderson's like, fine. I'll go do that.
I'll break him in half there, too.
Right. I mean, and we've seen that before. It's very interesting with the UFC when they want to set up a guy for a home court advantage. They're able to do it. But a lot of times the champions don't seem to get that nod.
No, I mean, especially
because they want to make the big fight in some place where they haven't been before. So you got to bring the champ in to do that.
Well, there's no doubt that they want to test this idea that can they do a soccer stadium in Europe, right? Because, I mean, you tend to make fun of those cards just because of where they end up being and who ends up being on them, and that's totally fine. But they clearly, from a business model, would love to do larger cards with, you know, in an ideal scenario, if Conor McGregor's a champ and Michael Bisping's a champ, right? That's ideal for them in this, like, put it in a soccer stadium sort of universe.
We could restart the IRA conflict if that were the case.
We certainly could. But we'll...
We're not trying to do that, though. That would be a bad idea. I'm not telling anybody in the IRA to get all worked up again.
Yes, we will.
The British love you. See, I'm not as xenophobic as you think. I'm on top of that.
Fair enough.
You know why? I watch Sons of Anarchy.
Of course you do. Okay. So Ken gets his history from Sons of Anarchy, and we get our fighting in Boston this weekend. I'm going to pick Connor in this. Dennis is dangerous. I'm not sure it's 2 minutes. You know, your nod to the Max Holloway
fight. It's 2 minutes if he's backing up what he's been talking about. Like, all these fighters getting annoyed with him. It's got to be 2 minutes, right?
It's got to be 2 minutes. I don't know that it's going to be, though. The co-main event, Benson Henderson, who was going to fight Eddie Alvarez, which was a fantastic fight, instead finishes up the trilogy with Donald Cerrone on 2 weeks' notice. Benson Henderson finds out that he's fighting Donald Cerrone from a text message, which is an interesting way to find out that you're fighting Donald Cerrone.
Who was the text message? I hope it was from Donald, like, what?
It was from Donald, really? Saying that, hey, let's go out and get that fight bonus. And Benson's like, WTF, mate? What in the world? I'm fighting Eddie Alvarez. Oh, no, man. Budweiser's and brawling. That's what we're doing in Boston.
That's what's happening.
That is what's happening. I love this fight. These two obviously like to fight each other. And Cerrone is on a tear, so this is going to be a really interesting fight to see, as Benson has had quite the slide from grace from the champ to
where
he is
both
right now.
I was going to look it up. Those are both losses for Cerrone,
yes,
right? He lost twice.
He lost twice, but Benson is obviously not on a winning streak, you know?
No, and that was back in, I mean, what you would probably call, I think I would at this point, WEC was probably Benson's heyday at this point.
Yes.
He was very impressive with his first run in the UFC. I shouldn't say first run. He's still on that run. But with his first, you know, 10 fights or so in the UFC, he had a great run. So this is one of those things where Donald Cerrone's kind of had, let's use Benson Henderson's terminology. He's got that stain he wants to get rid of, which is those losses to Benson Henderson.
And which makes this fight obviously super interesting. The other thing that makes it interesting is that Donald has clearly evolved into this fighter that he wants to be. The questions, and I'm bummed that Sean isn't here to ask, because I'm fascinated about this conversation that Donald had, that, you know, he spent all of this money on a training camp, and he still has things that he wants to show people. But there's that science of the human body that he went through a full camp, fought a full fight, right?
Primed when he's planning to be primed,
right, primed when
if
he's
you want to believe that science.
And fought a full fight, and then 2 weeks later wants to do that. And so, I mean, Benson Henderson is not a guy I would take on short notice, and I'm interested to see what this does to Donald Cerrone from a fighting aspect. Like, can he recover? And if I had the opportunity, what I would love to do is talk to him about that and say, so what did you do for 2 weeks? Do you sleep for 2 weeks? Do you, you know, is it stretching for 2 weeks? Because you obviously don't go back into
camp. You can't ramp back
right?
up.
You know, what does that look like and what does that do to you? A really, really interesting fight. Uriah Hall going to be the third fight on the card. He is taking on Ron Starling, a former guy from Strikeforce. Like I said earlier in the show, that is his third dance partner in so many weeks, as it was supposed to be Costa Philippou, which would have been a great test for him. And then now Lewis Taylor drops out. And on Monday, Ron Starling's is like, yeah, I mean, 4 days notice, Uriah Hall. Why not?
There you go.
So we'll get to check that one out. Kicking off the main card, it's Norman Park and Gleison Tebow. That'll be a fun one to watch. And then my pick on the prelims is going to be Doomsday and Larkin, which I love to see those guys go, and that should be a very exciting fight.
Conor McGregor, 2 minutes.
Conor McGregor, 2 minutes. Couple other things to talk about. They had one of the holdovers. We talked about WEC a minute ago. One of the holdovers was this Harley-Davidson promotion they do, where they do the hometown throwdown. And you get online and you vote for where you want the UFC to go. And there's that marketing arm where you think that they're going to go to Grand Rapids, Michigan, or Flint, or DeKalb, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to Chicago. So
wow, yeah. Well, I'm glad to find folks in Chicago are finally getting a big event.
They are getting
Did you have something to do with that?
I had nothing to do with it, but I'll be there. It's Fox 16 is going to be there. That will be the hometown throwdown.
When is that?
It's a little bit ways off, like mid-April. And then no word on who's going to be on that, because they've been busy this week making about 600.
I can tell you who's going to be on a Chicago card.
CM Punk?
CM Punk!
It's a little early for CM Punk, dude.
I'm starting to chant.
Okay. The reason that we might not know who's coming to Fox 16 at this point is because the UFC has been busy making sure that Rory McDonald never gets a title shot and making a whole bunch of other fights.
Do we have some weird tournament now that I didn't know about?
Well, they seemingly did that. And Robbie Lawler has come out and said that he just needed a little extra time. There are, of course, rumors floating around that the backlash to the trilogy was so bad that they have moved Matt Brown and Johnny Hendricks into that spot, and they will go at UFC 185. And then you will have Hector Lombard and Rory McDonald, who will never get a title shot, at UFC 186. Those two guys win, I guess then they have to fight, and then the winner of that gets Robbie Lawler.
Oh, so it's a real tournament.
One can only assume it's a real tournament.
Oh, no. Here's what I assume.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you what I assume when I heard this, and I didn't see anything to the contrary yet. So if you've got that, hit us on Twitter, at Wow Show, or on Facebook. My understanding was these two fights happen, and then basically Joe Silva, Dana White stand back and go, okay, who gets the shot? I don't think we're going to find out in the cage out of the two winners who gets the shot. I think they're going to pick one of the winners, which totally means Rory McDonald's never getting that shot.
What does the guy have to do, right? Like, I feel so bad for him. Number
but
one.
But did you hear anything to the contrary? Because I
did not. I just assumed that that would be the only fair way to
do
it.
I think
unless you're flat out going to go, Rory, you are never. I know that George retired and you thought, aha, finally I can go get my thing. But we're going to make sure that that never happens by making you fight Hector Lombard, Jacare, Luke Rockhold, Lyoto Machida, John Jones, Daniel Cormier. Like, we're going to line up everybody in the roster, and you have to fight all of them before you get to Robbie Lawler.
Or they just decide you don't get to.
Or they just
if Robbie still got the belt at that point too, I mean, don't you think Hendricks ends up in there against Lawler again?
I mean, it's Matt Brown though, so who knows? I mean, Matt Brown is
it's Matt Brown, but it is still the guy that beat George St. Pierre, whether or not you want to believe it or not. And I don't think any of us expected the up and downs, but I mean, remember that's what makes that whole thing with John Jones even more impressive. When we talk about it,
sure.
And how long he's been able to hold that title and defend that title, a guy like Johnny Hendricks, we didn't expect to be talking about anything but him as the champion probably for 2 or 3 years, right? That was our expectation going in as soon as GSP retired. Obviously had a hard fight, ended up losing a fight. I mean, that's a guy who I think gets right back in that title shot if he wins. Now that we've got this four-man, it's either the tournament or we pick
right.
somebody out.
And so to reset, Robbie fought twice before he got back to the tournament, back to the title. So I guess I'm hoping that that's what happens, because I feel that's the only fair thing. Because Rory, every time Joe Silva or Dana White tells him to do something, he goes out and does it. And much like Matt Brown has prior to this moment, Matt Brown, the more he won, the further he got away from a title shot. Right. So now here he is knocking on the door of being somebody that they might look at. It seems only logical, and maybe they won't, or we'll see how long Robbie's going to be on the shelf. If Robbie's going to be on the shelf for a little bit and he wants to fight at the end of the year because he literally was in a camp for all of 2014,
mm-hmm.
maybe that makes sense. You know, you do this right now in March, and then you do another fight in the fall. I don't know.
Well, let's not forget, though, this is a situation, too, where not only – and I brought this up before, but I think it's even a bigger priority than ever. The UFC's got to look at this as a business, and I'm looking at all these fighters. And if I've got to put a guy in a title shot, I'm going to put the guy in there who's already done pay-per-view buys. I'm going to put the guy in there who's already fought GSP. I'm going to go in with the guy that beat Carlos Condit. I'm going to go with the guy who's already headlined a couple pay-per-views. He's got some name recognition, and people know him. And you know what? You and I are both buying a Robbie Lawler, Johnny Hendricks fight. We'll buy that every day of the week.
Well, I mean, now I will, right? Like, I was not excited. I was one of the guys not excited about the trilogy.
That.
I just
what I'm saying, though. Now that you know, because we all know, this could go either way. This could be a great fight.
Well, it's going to be for sure a great fight.
So it's tough. And I guess earlier in the week, Rory McDonald said he was heartbroken about the way the title picture changed. That's tough, because if you say you're heartbroken and you still have to go in and fight a dude, especially he's fighting
Lombard,
Hector Lombard, you still got to go in there and actually fight the fight, and you're already disappointed because of how things went down going into that fight. Mentally, that can be tough on you, and he's a guy where we've questioned it in the past. I'm not saying that there is an issue there, but it's been questioned in the past. Mentally, is he there for that championship shot? He gets told some news, and he says he's heartbroken. I don't know.
Well, I'm certainly not going to blame him, because I don't know how – I mean, like I said, I don't know how many
things –
Yeah,
but if you're a fighter, this is where I like Sean on the show. Like, yeah, you don't ever say that. What are you? You're a fighter.
Sure,
go out there and
fight.
Maybe
you don't ever say that, but what I'm saying is – even if he doesn't say it, it's got to be a real thing, because they literally go, hey, you beat Ken Evans, you're the number one contender. Just kidding, we're doing a trilogy. Just kidding, we're starting a pseudo tournament.
Best out of four, maybe. sort of.
Just kidding, it's now badminton, right? Like, that is
UFC,
right, yeah, maybe, perhaps. The other thing that was mentioned, that also at UFC 186, so you get Hector Lombard and Rory McDonald, you will also get Henan Burrell and Dillashaw 2. And the tentative, this has not been confirmed, and he has not been given an opponent yet, the tentative return of Quinton Rampage Jackson.
Oh, that's right. That was a big announcement, what, a couple weeks ago?
Yes. So he is rumored to return at UFC 186.
When does the A-Team 2 come out?
That'll be
because I imagine they'll line up.
That'll be a
and
very...
And then he'll quit.
That'll be a very stacked card.
And we'll finally get that. Did he ever fight Tito? I'm going to be honest. I don't know if that fight ever happened.
He did not fight.
He did not. Are you sure?
That was the whole problem.
Okay.
Tito got $1 million in Bellator.
I'm going to admit something here as I was taking the siesta from the show. I wanted to watch a fight in Bellator and never actually got to it, which was the Tito Ortiz-Stefan Bonner fight. I, to this day, don't know who won. I don't want spoilers. In fact, I'm probably going to have to go watch right after we post the show so I don't get screwed up.
Okay.
Don't tell me. I still don't know who won that fight.
At the Ken Evans, if you want to tell him right
don't
now.
Don't tell me who won that. I'm going to go watch right now.
The Ken Evans.
I'm sure it's free.
Also,
they might pay me to watch
also
it.
Also at UFC 185, Carla Esparza defends
come on, Bonner.
Defends her strawweight championship for the first time. So we've continued to build these great events as we head into the rest of 2015. This weekend, though, we've got UFC Fight Night 59 in Boston. You'll catch it on Sunday night.
So wait. While I was gone, there's another women's division?
There is. There's a strawweight division with a new champ, Carla Esparza, and she will defend her belt at UFC 185. And
just taking notes over here.
Absolutely. And if you need anything all weekend long, follow along on Twitter or Facebook at Wow Show. It is Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.